Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. You're listening to Technori Live from WGN Radio, where the startups and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me today in our recap episode, I believe we've got a Northwestern basketball game coming up next week, so this is our final broadcast of 2017. I brought in my team guys here, Sean Frelich and Sam Fiskers-Fisk, to... Is that no good?
I mean, you could have started with Fisk and then gone to the joke of Fiskers, but...
No. You start where your heart's at, and Fiskers is a kitty cat that you guys have, and that's not even the cat's name, but I've affectionately dubbed it that, and now you're Fiskers, too. So, regardless, these are my producers at Technori, or at least two of them, and I kind of want to start off with, you know, some of the big things that were stories, that, I guess you'd say, the things that were stories that were in 2017 and the things that maybe were stories that weren't. A couple of things that I'm going to cover for everybody, and I think it's pretty impossible to skip. Bitcoin and crypto is all over the place, literally and figuratively. So we're going to start off, I think, one, I'm going to ask you guys, what are your favorite stories, you know, from the year and things that you learned about? I think the stories that stand to mind for me is equity crowdfunding. It got a lot of play and buzz in the news early in the year, and then it sort of it didn't fizzle to us. It was exceptionally well performing, but it didn't get a lot of play throughout the year. So we're going to talk a little bit about how that has changed and impact things. We really can't go through 2017 without talking about Outcome Health, unfortunately. There's some things that we can chat about, and then there's some things that also I think are just impacts. And I've gotten a lot of questions from people who aren't in the startup community who said, is what happened with Outcome Health going to negatively impact Chicago? So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we will get into the crypto kind of stuff and ICO, what that is, how it works, why it's such a big deal, where things are going. But without further ado, guys, I want to kick it to you guys and ask, what are some of the things other than what I mentioned that stand out? I'll go to Sean first.
I think one of the good stories for local Chicago news is I want to give a shout out to Reverb. Oh, that's a way to bring ourselves into the conversation, too, because I think that was the best showcase that we did this year was the music in tech showcase, because there's so much more innovation. And bringing in the old, I love I think they just went public with their website, the Reverb LP, where you can buy some records, which I'm starting to get into again is record playing. So that's one of my favorites. And
I also love with Reverb, I love the videos that they put out. If you haven't checked it out, Reverb.com, David Cult, the CEO, he sold several businesses for hundreds of millions of dollars, $1 billion, I believe, in one of the cases. But at any rate, it's just cool. Like, you don't see companies that spend so much on like the media side of it that aren't in the media business, and they're one that does. I mean, they've got bands, they have concerts at Reverb.com's headquarters. It's awesome. So good call on the Reverb one. That was a good one.
Yeah, and like in terms of corporate company culture, I think they show a positive impact on it. And then on the flip side, you know, we had the whole outpouring of sexual harassment allegations coming to the forefront, and that fell into the startup world with Uber taking the big fall that they took this year.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, light will push out the darkness that's there, and those guys can start cleaning up.
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy. Like Uber, yeah, I mean, you think about it, it feels like it's just been such a long journey down from Uber. Like, it doesn't feel like it all was this year, and yet you're right, it was all this year that all this stuff came out. And I guess it also shows you, though, that with enough money, you can stay afloat and handle these problems. Like, I feel like in the past, something like this would come up and the company would be done.
Oh, and you have enough money to shut up hackers.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Can't forget about that story, too.
Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. Uber has had a rough one this year. CEO out, board changes, investments, hackers. They lied about it. Tons of stuff. I want to kick to you, Sam. What do you got?
Well, first of all, Uber persists.
Yeah.
They're still doing just fine.
That's the craziest part, right?
Mm hmm. And back to what I was saying, you mentioned equity crowdfunding. I think right when we started in January 2017, we had the equity crowdfunding showcase with Republic. And I think there's a theme there where it was a packed showcase.
Yep.
And it's because there's a much bigger pool of people that are interested and can invest in these companies.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same kind of line of thought that's going to go with these cryptocurrencies, because such a deeper, bigger pool of people can get into investment.
That's the key. I guess if I were to take a positive, you know, not just me, but I think media people in general also always focus on the negative, because it's just makes it more exciting. Stories just tend to be crazier. But I think that with regard to the positives, one of the coolest things about 2017, you mentioned equity crowdfunding, also crypto, is it democratizes investing. Previously, whether you're starting a company or investing in one, it's been pretty much reserved for like the wealthiest 3%, and that's usually bald white men. And now you've got the ability for anyone to start a company, because they can get that startup, you know, startup funds that they need to get rolling by equity crowdfunding or selling an ICO. And you can let anyone invest, whether they're a millionaire or they only have $100 in the pocket. If they only have $100 in the pocket, they probably should hold on to the $100 in their pocket. But the other thing is cool, speaking of democratizing, is what crypto does, as does equity crowdfunding. We found this out when you mentioned Sam the Stage, because we had half the companies on stage were minority and or female founder led during that showcase. So I look at the fact that they raised somewhere around $16,000 that day during that hour and a half showcase, and then they went on and raised about $480,000 between the four companies over the next 45 days. It's pretty powerful. If you'd ask a female founder, minority founder who traditionally don't have access to capital, could they raise that much money in that amount of time? No way. So yeah, very cool.
And I think we'll hopefully touch on about what it means for a startup to be okay with giving up a little piece of that equity, because I know that that's often like a hot button issue for young startups who are like, this is our company. Like,
yeah, we will get to that. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and sort of kick on some of these stories and some of the things you guys personally might have learned along the way here. So thank you for listening in. This is WGN AM 720, and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is Technory Live from WGN Radio. I've got my affectionately call my goons. I got my two producers here, Sam Fisk and Sean Frelick.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Sure. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course, why would we not want to have you guys? We were just kind of talking a little bit about, all of 2017. But Sam brought up something before we took the break that I thought is actually really interesting, because for those of you listening who are entrepreneurs, or maybe I should say who are not entrepreneurs, you maybe won't understand the internal battle that is trying to decide if I want to take money or I want to give up equity, I want to do debt, like whatever the case is. And I think that's one of the things that I found this year in particular, maybe, and I don't even really know why, but it stood out to me, is that we have a show where we interview hundreds of founders, and every one of them would say, we're raising money, everyone wants to raise money. And in reality, I've always come from the standpoint of, like, you don't raise money unless you absolutely have to. Like, if there's a reason that you, like, raising is going to make this big difference, it's not just about money. And I always thought, because, like, I want to own this whole thing. Like, this is my thing. And it's funny to me how many founders are so, like, they love to yell about how they're trying to raise capital, but then when you try to negotiate with them, like, they don't want to give up any equity, and you're like, it's one or the other, which is nice with equity crowdfunding stuff, is that you can carve out a tiny amount, and it's like, not as big a deal. But what are some of the things you guys have noticed when it comes to dealing with founders and just sort of the conversations that you've observed on?
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of people like holding onto something that maybe isn't as important or relevant as it used to be. It's like this sacred like tradition almost. Like, this is your company. You want to own. Of course, you want to own as much of it as possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Jobs Act and Title 3, right?
Yep.
Like, it's
well, Title 3 is a portion of the Jobs
Act. Portion of it. But it's giving you access to a way of raising capital that you never had before.
Yeah.
And it kind of requires you to
I think like it empowers you.
Yeah. And you should rethink about what's valuable really when it comes to building this company. If giving up a little bit of that equity allows you to make the company go from a failure to a success, why are you not doing it?
And stakeholders give you a higher degree of accountability, right? Like, if there's people that are bought into your product or your company or your service, you got to step back and say, well, you have to take them in mind when you consider what you're going to do with your company. And that's what we've had to do, too, is like take a read and a pulse of what's going on around us with other founders and other people of interest to consider how we're going to shape ourselves. So I think that's another great reason to get a little of your equity up.
Yeah, it's funny. I get into arguments with people all the time about this. It always ends up going back to this line of what is 100% of nothing. And one of the things that kind of baffles me sometimes is, we work with startups. I have equity in a handful of companies, and I'm trying to help them. And you don't have money. okay, so you don't have a product because you don't have money, and you don't have money to give me, and you don't, like, you don't have anything to give anyone back. Like, you can't, you're not going to get help and grow and get things from people without compensation. And it's just funny to me how sometimes the founders are like holding on to this whole thing. It's like, I want to build a board of advisors who can help move my company along, which is one of the reasons that I keep saying that the that equity crowdfunding play empowers founders, because you're essentially, you're marketing and making hundreds of advocates for your company. And, you know, like you said, you have to give up a little bit of equity, but I mean, holy cow, totally worth it. on to the next kind of thing that we had come through here, was like a wind tunnel, was Outcome Health. And the only reason I bring it up now is the news that broke, yes, I think Chicago Inno covered it, or maybe it was Cranes, I can't remember, about the fact that Outcome Tower is not Outcome Tower anymore. So they had this tower that they, you know, if you guys aren't familiar, Outcome Health has had kind of a, not kind of, an awful couple months here after the Wall Street Journal story came out saying that they were fudging numbers of the ad revenue and of the number of impressions that their ads were getting in doctors' offices and so forth. And since then, subpoenas have been drawn, investigations have started up, Alphabet and Goldman Sachs and Pritzker Group are suing them for $250 million or whatever to get their money back, which is unheard of in the investment game, because obviously that, you know, if the investors sue the company for their money back, that means you don't have any money, which means you usually go out of business. So they're in like flux. Well, literally the week before this article came out, Rishi Shah, the founder, co-founder, and CEO, was shaking hands with Rahm Emanuel, cutting the tape on Outcome Tower, where they're going to put hundreds of new employees. And now they've just officially yesterday backed out of the deal. Yeah. So, you know, it's sad, because Rishi was on our stage at Technorium, and he's pitched. For all intents and purposes, I've liked him and never had any issues and found him to be a stand-up guy. But obviously, there's some stuff going on there that, you know, we really have no idea, but it's sad for Chicago, because it was one of those stories that we were able to say, like, look, you know, we had a homegrown Northwestern kids start a company, grew it to $1 billion, no money taken in, then they raised $500 million from the biggest players in the game, and now here it's all unraveling in front of us.
And I'll add that I think it's a shame that we're probably not going to understand the full story of this for a long time. I mean, the litigation alone, the suing, getting the money back, like, it's going to be a long time before we find out why did they do this. Like, who did this?
I mean, I have my own personal opinion. This isn't based on anybody's knowledge or whatever. This is just me deconstructing a business problem. You know, I look in and see, you know, just thinking like a founder. If I'm a founder of a company, I see this opportunity, I think that this can happen, and you start building your company and it starts working, and you're like, all right, I just, in order for this to succeed, I've got to get all these pieces of hardware into all these doctors' offices, and we'll just turn on the ads, and we're just gonna push it. And then your assumption is, we gave away all the hardware, so it's gonna work, and these people are gonna re-sign. They're gonna sign up for the product because we're it's gonna work, right? Because we're founders and we're just like so excited it's gonna work. Well, then I think somewhere along the line, this is just totally my opinion, somewhere along the line, I think they recognized that there is a problem and that the re-signing is not going to happen the way that they thought it was. And that was the instigator to them to go raise capital. It's like, all right, we're going to figure this out. We're going to go raise $500 million, which is funny. And then we're going to re-engineer our problem and fix it. And no one's going to be the wiser. And you know what? If it would have worked, it would have worked. But it didn't. And somebody, you know, called BS on it. And now here we are. But I really do think, like, I think they raised that money for the purpose of spending it to find the solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might have been. I mean, when you frame it that way, it sounds like kind of a innocent thing to do in some ways, because they had their vision and they were on their way to achieving that. And then things don't go exactly as they planned. So maybe you just fudge a few numbers and no one's going to notice.
Well, and that's
so we've got a caller question. Camille, you're going to patch him in, or is it just read it? Go ahead and patch him in. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Yeah, I could be patched in, or you could read it either way.
No, tell us. What's your question?
No, I'm really, as somebody who's been involved in high tech since before the internet, believe it or not, I do think this is going to diminish the tech reputation that we seem to be slowly building nationally, and that you have this big flaming or shooting star, and we're not sure whether it's going to flame out or whether it's going to glow brightly.
So is the main question is like, how is this going to impact the tech community? Do you think it's going to hurt it?
Right. Because we locally, we don't have to worry about our reputation.
Yep.
But nationally, you know, it's the West Coast, it's MIT. I mean, you know, we can talk about that forever, Austin, you know. And that's the thing that concerns me, because I was down in Champaign when we thought we were going to be the Silicon Prairie. You know,
yeah. You know, Tom, I'll tell you, I think there's no doubt that this impacts us negatively. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, we were running around saying, look, I mean, we had pictures of the mayor standing with Rishi cutting tape on a big new building and talking about the skyscrapers that we're filling with, you know, new employees. There's no doubt that the people are going to look and go, is this just another Chicago politics? It's corruption. That's what it looks like. And we already have that kind of smudge on the city. The only thing I can say, and I try to look at like the bright side. The one thing that I will say about it is, regardless of what was going on in Outcome Tower, there was a community here that was strong enough to support the growth from zero to $1 billion company without raising any money. And that when money was needed, they were able to go out and find some of the biggest investors in the world to put money in Chicago. So, I mean, yes, it doesn't look good for anybody, but I think it does tell that we've more about where we've come to or how far we've come, because in the past you wouldn't be hearing Alphabet and Goldman Sachs. Obviously you'd hear Pritzker Group because they're local, but you wouldn't be hearing those companies investing in Chicago companies, and definitely not to the tune of $500 million. So, you know, so I think I try to take away the best parts of it, I guess.
Well, the beauty of your show is that you've got your fingers in so many other kind of what I would call the little stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you have a sense of momentums, or whatever the plural of momentum is.
Yeah. Momentum.
Moving, you know, forward, sideways. And so that, I think it's important for you to continue with that, because you're one of those voices that we need to have out there, and it's nice that GN has given you an hour a week.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate GN giving us an hour a week. Tom, thank you so much for calling in.
Take care.
Yep, take care. No, guys, I think Tom brought up a good point, and that's one of the things that this year has been awesome for Chicago Tech. We raised almost $90 million just a month, like last month.
Yeah, but on the national level, you don't really see that.
No.
It's outshined by a lot of really negative stories.
Yeah.
And I think one bright side of the Outcome debacle is that look how far they got.
Yeah.
They got really far.
Yeah.
And they did really well. But they
let's be fair also, they're not gone yet.
Right.
You know, and I mean, here, speaking of gone, Theranos just raised $100 million in debt from a group that was acquired by SoftBank. If Theranos can still be in the game after literally giving people false lab results, hey, what's a few ads, right? You know, so we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit and pivot is the key word here in startups, towards a fintech crypto conversation, because after our break here, I think there's some interesting opportunities for Chicago to again continue its growth and popularity outside of just local. So we are going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their stories. Sitting next to me, my producers, Sean Freilich and Sam Fisk. We have been talking a little bit about what's been going on in 2017. We just got off of Outcome Health and their fall from grace, shall you say. Sam, you said you had a question that you wanted to ask about
Outcome Health. Yeah, well, the last caller kind of raised a little bell in my head. You know, as part of like,
did
the
he
fallout.
Raise it or did he ring it?
Yeah, ring it.
He rang it. He rose it. It and
Scott,
rang it.
Scott, right. The metaphor police.
Anyway, do you think that Outcome has an impact on startups taking risks? Obviously, this didn't turn out to be a good risk that they took.
Yeah,
but there's the thing about taking a risk to make your business better.
Well, you know, the saying has been around for a long time: "Fake it till you make it." And it sounds like some people took that literally. You know, I mean, you look at this and I literally have no real inside information to tell what happened there. And I'm not even going to use Outcome as an example, but there's a bunch of companies that you like, this sounds unethical. This doesn't sound right. And, you know, by all means, it's probably a systemic problem, but I think you have to simulate what you think you're building. Like I tell founders this all the time, like don't spend a ton of money trying to build the full product. You got to simulate it. So if I think that like the end game product is that this is how you're going to use my product or service down the road when we're ready. In the meantime, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you the first part and the second, and then I'm going to kind of simulate, manufacture the outcome to make it happen. And I think you have to do that in order to properly scale a company and responsibly raise money. And are there times that that is going to go backfire on you? Yeah. In fact, a ton of companies will sell their product without being ready, and then they can't deliver, and then they blow up, and that's it. And you're like, wow, what a shame, what a waste, whatever, what a scam. And it's like, yeah, no, I mean, like, that's what were they supposed to do?
It's baked into the pie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the risk you run when you do a startup.
I agree. And I think when people freak out about it, it's like, you know, like, what were they supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, it's just it only becomes an issue when they raise $100 million or more if you're like Theranos or Outcome Health.
That's why I say like there's a little bit of a systemic thing there where like sometimes because you're a founder, like let's be honest, I think most politicians, CEOs, and entrepreneurs are somewhat, if not totally, sociopathic. Like they're all just a little off. And so you can see how someone would try to manufacture the end product because they can, because they're the leader, they're the power. And then all of a sudden things aren't going right, and they just, well, let's just keep on doing that until whenever. And you feel like you can do whatever you want, like you're kind of got the God syndrome going on, and it happens a lot. And I think that they're going to keep doing it, and you're going to have to keep doing it. But I think when people mess up, they got to be smacked down. And that's all you can do is like, yeah, it's worth, there's a risk. There's got to be consequences. Mm-hmm. So interesting. As we spin forward here, we've talked a little about the equity crowdfunding thing. I want to talk a little bit about crypto and Bitcoin and just in general. And before we go spinning off into these crazy words and Ethereum and things that maybe you have or have not heard of, feel free to call in. I'm not by any stretch an expert to answer the questions, but I certainly will help you if you...
Well, the thing is, no one is, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. So if you want to call in, it's 312-981-7200. You can call in and ask us anything, and we'll tell you literally anything. but I want to go to you guys first and ask what you guys are curious about the crypto world. And then I'm going to spend the show in the last half of the show or the last segment of the show on what I think is a huge promising opportunity for Chicago in particular as a result of this crypto. What are questions that you guys, I know you guys, Sam, you just bought Bitcoin for the first time, right? So,
right. And I think I maybe fall on the average consumer side here because you see like an app like Coinbase and you realize that the barrier to entry is not what it was even 4 years ago when it was just a different website. And
but here, you want to know the trick?
It's like a nice, pretty packaging that makes you like, oh, I think I can put money in this.
There is no doubt that the Coinbase, I guess, adoption is what's fueling, in my opinion, what has fueled the rapid launch of Bitcoin, or I should say rapid growth of Bitcoin over the last several months. But here's the thing. Coinbase, all it does, it's not the only, but it's one of the main ones that you can convert US dollars into Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum. And now Bitcash and a few other things. They'll add a few things to it. But if you actually are those who are buying all the other cryptocurrencies, Ripple and all these, there's literally like a thousand different currencies. You can't buy them on Coinbase. You have to buy Coinbase to put your money in. Then you have to get something like Binance and then Ledger that you take it off your computer so you can actually like store it and not get hacked and have your wallet ripped out like that one dude who lost like $50 million, which that'll happen, folks. But so like it's already complicated. Like I'm trying to explain this to you and it's already complicated that like I put my US dollars, my hard-earned dollars into Coinbase. I then buy Bitcoin or Litecoin. I then go to Binance and I have that online as a website where I then convert my Litecoin to buy currencies like Ripple and other things that are trading at like $5 or 5 cents. And then I store the cryptocurrencies that I just bought on Ledger, which is downloaded on my computer so that people can't just come in and rip me off. That's a lot for the average Joe to like get involved, I feel like.
I think this is maybe one of the more like monumental like shifts in like maybe how society is going to work.
Yeah,
especially like for my generation, just it's been amazing to me to watch something like Bitcoin grow the way it has. Because yep. I mean, like you said, there are a lot of other cryptocurrencies. I mean, I had friends that, you know, would used to mine Dogecoin, you know. You remember Doge, yeah, yeah. Like the popular meme? Like, there's a thing. It's called Dogecoin. My friend has a great little computer, sits right up, you know, and just had it continuously mining the internet for Doge.
So do you know what mining is? Roughly ballpark?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to go...
It's too complicated for
I'm not going to go into it deep. Sean, do you have any background on this at all?
No.
Yeah.
And I'm the one guy here who has not yet put any money in cryptocurrency.
Okay.
But I'm on...
We're either going to be laughing at you or you're going to be laughing all day long at us. You know what I mean? Because it's like, to me, I was one of those people who thought this might be... It still could be a bubble. I'm not saying that it's not going to go up and down and pop, but I originally was like, okay... Let me get this right. So you've got this thing that doesn't exist, but it does exist, and you mine it, but it's really just the internet, and here's how we're going to put our money into it, and it's going to stay its value. And it was just very, I don't know, I could see the bubble. Then as I started getting more into it and reading more up on it and really getting involved, it was like, no. This is about blockchain. This isn't about currency. This is about technology that enables us to continue to democratize the process. I keep using that word because it... literally makes it to where, yes, there's hacks and things, but for the most part, it's a smart contract and it's right there and it's done by third party. So you're not, you know, you can't hold this hostage, and you can't choose to give you money, but not you money. You know what I mean? It's interesting stuff. So, that to me is a fascinating, I don't even know where it's going to go.
Just that it's not just for the triviality. Like, this is an internet thing.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it's moved from there into the mainstream has kind of blown my mind. That of 2017, that has yes. easily been
just in the last the 2 weeks.
Thing. Yeah, isn't that the craziest thing?
Become a household name.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. You know, and the funny thing is, and of course, to tie it back to startups, this is. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of opportunities. After this break, we're going to come back and talk about fintech and the opportunity with trading Bitcoin futures at the CME and sort of the impact of Chicago's trading community grabbing a hold of this and running with it and some universities that are doing some amazing stuff. But before we do that, you know, one of the things that you just talked about is how this has just exploded in the last couple of weeks. And ICO, which is an initial coin offering, like an IPO, startups are actually using coin to raise capital. And we actually are enabling companies to do that as well with our platform in partnership with Republic. When you go to our showcases, you can go and invest in companies literally right off the stage in coin or in capital. And I don't know. This is just crazy.
Do you see a particular draw to wanting to invest in a company via crypto as opposed to the more traditional routes?
Yeah. This one I'm not 100% like educated on to where I like know what I like, where I want to be, I should say. But I do like the ability that you actually own a piece of their technology. So like, rather than giving you a piece of paper, like that's it. I actually own like a piece of your currency. And so imagine down the road, let's say I own 15 different currencies from different companies. And I, you know, fast forward, like it may, I want to say down the road, like a couple of years, it may not even be that long, where cryptocurrencies are good everywhere. I could go buy Bitcoin and then trade Bitcoin or use Bitcoin to buy shares in your company and shares in your company and shares in their company, and then trade those shares of your company with another company or for another company. So like it is a completely different way of handling the way that we move our money around. And like change, I think it could change the entire world as far as like how people access and use capital. It's gonna be interesting.
And I'm sure that terrifies people.
It terrifies me.
I think people are not financially literate enough to begin with. Just imagine them now having to learn how to trade in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies.
Well, that's a great way to segue this, because we're gonna take our break here and I'm gonna come back and tell you a couple places you can go to actually learn a little bit more about this. So you were listening to WGN AM 720. I'm Scott Catoon, and these are my friends and colleagues, Sean and Sam. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is Technory Live from WGN Radio, sitting here with producers Sean Frelick and Sam Fiskers. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello. Bring your kids to work day, right?
Yeah, this is bring your kids to work day. Oh, my God. I think it's more just like help me out day. You guys are here to kind of give everyone a rundown on what we've missed out on this year and what has been cool and happening. Sam, when we left, you were talking about about the lack of knowledge or the need to learn a lot about crypto. And I think Chicago is going to be, New York obviously is, you know, Wall Street. But I think Chicago is going to be that place where people have the ability to learn about crypto, really unlike anywhere else, because we have all these incubators and things here, which are cool. But we've got university, we're very university strong. And it's kind of funny that Kellogg is one of the top, you know, business schools in the country, in the world. And Booth is, of course, also one of the top in the world. And IIT, Illinois Institute of Technology, has actually started focusing primarily in the fintech and crypto space and are offering EMBAs, and their law school is one of the tops in tech IP. And they've got, you know, engineering programs and design programs around around crypto and around fintech in general. And so I really, you know, like, that's a focus for them going forward. And we're actually going to try to partner with them, I think, to make that come to fruition. But it is, to me, cool, because if you are someone out there listening, you're like, I want to learn more about this, you can go to, you know, bitcoin.org. You can go to Coinbase. You can do that and, like, learn how to do it on a, like, a kind of a macro level. But if you want to really get into it in micro level, there's universities and programs around the city now that you can literally go and learn as much as you can. But here's the part that's kind of cool, I think, and you alluded to it, Sean, earlier, is nobody knows. So, like, even though you're going to be going there to get this expert advice, the expert advice is only, like, it's only as good as, like, technical. Like, here's what mining is, here's what this is, best practices, couldn't tell you, I lost all my money. Like yeah. No idea.
Even though all these great universities are offering these programs to educate people on crypto, I mean, the key word with this is accessibility, and that's the point. I think we'll look back at 2017 and see that's the year where it all began. People may not quite understand the democratization of equity crowdfunding or banking itself, but this was, I think 2017 is the turning point. It's the nascent stages. We don't quite get it yet, but I think we can all learn more about it.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, you even talk about you mentioned it also earlier with Uber. This has been a house clearing year in a lot of ways. You know, the Me Too movement, the not taking your garbage stuff anymore that's going on in the companies. You know, for example, we've always suspected, we're right across the street from Apple's awesome store. And we've always suspected that they slowed down our devices. And now we find out that they literally designed flaws so that the devices would slow down and we'd get new ones. And people went berserk.
Well, and it's not just that. The solution is to get a new battery in your phone, and they don't make it easy.
No, they make it impossible. No. It could cost more money. It'd be cheaper to go steal somebody's phone and go to jail than it would be to go buy another
battery. You ever try to open an iPhone?
No, I had one open once on accident when I threw it against a wall.
There you go. That's probably easier than actually trying to safely open an iPhone and replace the battery.
No, that's another point of, like, I think in the past, and this is true, I think Apple has some issues with they're a little out of touch with reality anyway, but which I guess is not really that novel of a
thought. They're so powerful, they make their own reality, and we have to acquiesce to that.
Yeah, but even, like, here's the thing though, I feel like they came out and said that, like, no one's gonna care and it's gonna be fine, like, they control their own destiny always. And I think that, like you mentioned, we're in a new kind of era, and people, I think in the past Apple would have said that what they said, or they would have just denied it and everyone would just go about their business. People are really pissed. Like, there's people lined up outside of the Apple store yesterday picketing with signs. Like, this is real. And I think that's because we're in a stage right now where the access to everything is there, and we're not going to take companies hiding information from us, selling and breaching our data and selling it and just be like, oh, sorry, guys. We're not going to take mistreatment at the workplace anymore. We are not going to take, apparently, banks managing our money anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, banks.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Jamie Dimon. And, you know, and as founders, when I get really micro and we talk about the founders and startup companies, we're not going to let, you know, to a certain degree, investors are always going to, you know, dictate terms, because you get to a certain level, you need hundreds of millions, and that changes, you know, everything. But we're not going to take a person dictating whether or not we're going to make our startup work. In the past, it'd be like, I don't know anyone with money, so I can't. Done. You know, I'm a minority founder and I have no access and no one's giving me money. I'm out. That's not the case anymore. And that's, I think all this stuff is in 2017, which is crazy to think about. That, like, we wanted to talk about all the top stories, and really the only story that we continue to come back to is, we ain't going to take no bleep anymore, and we're going to do, you know, we're going to build things around the community.
Yeah, I think equity crowdfunding as a whole, it became legal this year for anyone to get involved in it, but it didn't really become a story. I think, one, because it's difficult to wrap your mind around, but there's been a lot of small good stories around people who have been given a leg up when they normally wouldn't have,
yeah,
because this avenue has been opened up to them. So I think it's only going to become more mainstream as we go forward. And, you know,
no, I agree.
Putting money in.
I guess my touch on that is it's important that these things are happening, especially because it's encouraging people to go into startups.
Yes.
And as we start to see the labor force, like, a lot of things are becoming more automated, there's going to be a big need for people to start, you know, taking on their own hustle, so to speak, and finding out how to, you know, educate themselves on, like, how can I build through, like, using cryptocurrencies and stuff like that, and how do I use equity crowdfunding? You have to have that knowledge and those skill sets to really excel in your careers.
No, 100%. I think that's, you know, maybe we're watching it. You know, maybe the timing is perfect. We talk about the jobs and things changing and the workforce changing, and you look at the stock market as it's traditionally operating, you're like, it may crash, you know, because there's lots of crazy stuff going on. And we're going to have all these people who are out of work. Well, here we are talking about the future, and now there's this future currency, this thing that makes it to where, you know, maybe you can invest in, you change the entire way that you move your money around going forward, which is interesting to me. What are some of the things, as we close up shop here, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in 2018? Some things that you, if you could make some bold predictions, what would it be?
Well, I think we're not going to see the end of these tearing down of people's misdeeds being hidden from the public's eye. I think Twitter will continue to be a place of influence. I was just reminded of just, like, all the hilarious battles and all the big movements that happen on Twitter, and buried in all that, you forget about Ted Cruz's account, yeah, and his one employee supposedly liking a porn tweet on, yeah, Twitter. So I think there's going to be a lot of great Twitter stories going into 2018, and a lot of powerful movements, people coalescing on there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we'll also have lots of tweets from the President of the United States, which is very important.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I just leave that. Very, very tremendous, very tremendous. Sam, what are you looking forward to?
Thanks for that impression, Scott.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah,
I can do that more if you want.
I think we'll just skip straight to the equity crowdfunding piece. I think that's actually going to take off. This year was a good, like, starting point for us, at least here at Technori.
Yep.
But I think we're going to host a hell of a lot more equity crowdfunding companies. And I think just the sheer number of companies that are going to actually engage in equity crowdfunding, especially on platforms such as Republic,
yep,
it's going to help, you know, create a nice, a better niche of companies that is more quality.
No, I agree. I think, you know,
the quality is only going to keep getting better.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's kind of the role we play on the show, is to sort of let people know that this exists and that sort of stuff. One of the things that's is particularly interesting to me on this, as you mentioned, is I always try to gauge, like, whether I think a technology or something is going to be good based on the people that it impacts response. So, like, the more I talk to investors about equity crowdfunding, and the more they're like, no, it's stupid, it's not going to work, the more I know it's going to be great. You know what I mean? Because, like, this, you, if you didn't care and it was nothing, yeah, you'd be like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know, it's phase. But you're like, no, it's a terrible idea. It's like, oh, are you mad because,
yeah,
we just took all your power away? Is that bad for you?
It sounds like a you mad thing.
Yeah, that's like, absolutely. It sounds like a you problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing more and more of it, where, mm-hmm, these investors that used to be able to hold a stranglehold on founders. And I mean, these are, I could go on for days with this, like the number of stories of founders who have lit, like, this sounds so weird. Founders who moved out of the city and into other, like, moved to another place because they, you know, had an investor who they wronged or they didn't like or didn't like them, and they, like, put the kibosh on their ability to start new companies and get involved with different tech communities because it was so small, and it was like, if I don't have, you know, if that person won't give you their money, then nobody, you know, no one else will. And now with equity crowdfunding, you don't even have to call an investor. You can just do it on your own, get started, and then you hold all the cards. Like, I own the terms. which flips the coin on the way that this has worked forever. So this has been awesome. Thank you guys for helping put together a 2017 that was so good. We're going to have a lot more of this going forward, and I think the show and this city is going to be great in 2018 for tech, and despite Outcome Health and Outcome Tower, we'll still be here, and it's going to be great.
We'll be doing just fine.
I think we're going to be good, yeah. So if you want to check us out and learn more about it, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at TechNor. You can follow me at Katoon. And, of course, you can always call into this show, WGN Radio Show, 312-981-7200.